From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the ninth day of September 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. And Stephen Platt of Archer Financial Services will join us to take up the energy markets. In just about 26 minutes, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a look at the agricultural weather forecast. And along the way, we'll hear how the crops are progressing towards maturity in the top corn-growing states in the Midwest, the nation, and for that matter, the world. So stay with us, won't you, for this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL Public Radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Taking a look at the numbers as they settled in Chicago on a Tuesday afternoon. September wheat futures were lower, finished down 11 and a quarter cents at $7.11.5. December at 7.30 and a half, 13 and a quarter lower, and the March contract at 7.53 and three quarters from the wheat pit, 13 and a half cents lower for the soft red winter wheat. Kansas City December wheat at $7.72. down 12 and three quarters on the afternoon. And in Minneapolis at the Grain Exchange, the nearby contract there traded at 7.90, down 13 cents. December futures 7 3/4 lower at $7.99 and a quarter. Corn pit in Chicago traded 3 1/2 cents lower for the nearby September at $5.29 and a half. Once again, 3 1/2 lower for the September corn. December contract, the harvest month, at 5.44 and a half, down 4 1/2, and the March at 5.63 and a half, 4 1/4 lower. May futures from the corn at 5.75 and a half, that contract down 4 1/4 cents. September soybean futures up 14 1/2 cents today, $12.09 the settlement price. November beans, $12.01, up 9. January, $12.17 and three quarters, 8 3/4 higher. And the March contract at $12.31 and three quarters, up 8 3/4. September bean meal at $3.41.20, 6.60 higher. September bean oil at $48.18, down 35. October live cattle, $102.65, down 40 cents a hundredweight. December at $104, 12 1/2. 82 and a half cents lower. Feeder cattle September futures 110.85, down 45. October at 110.42 and a half, down 87 and a half. And the October lean hogs at 66.90 were down $1.95. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like on the afternoon. Nearby October crude oil futures at $103.15 a barrel, down $3.19. November at $103.93, down $2.68. October ethanol at $2.18 and a tenth, 2 4/10 lower. Natural gas trading at $7.42 and 7 tenths, down 10 cents. And the RBOB gasoline at $2.63 and 3 tenths, 11 7/10 lower. October heating oil futures $2.90 and 9 tenths. That's diesel fuel, down 10 3/10 of a cent. October propane is trading 2 1/2 cents lower at $1.59. And the gold futures are trading the nearby September at $787.10 an ounce, down $10.40. Dow Jones Industrial Average now at 11,342 is just about 164 points lower. And the U.S. dollar is trading at 79.18. It's down 0.26 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like. From our own chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser, he says tonight it'll be clear and cool. Lows will range from 42 in northwestern Illinois to 55 in the far south. Tomorrow, Ed says, sunny skies. Highs will range from 68 along the Chicago lakefront to 80 in the far south. Showers and thunderstorms will return to Illinois and Indiana on Thursday night and Friday. Locally heavy rainfall possible Friday evening, especially in central sections of the two states. More rain likely to fall on Saturday, but the models disagree on which parts of our two states will get the most rainfall, says Ed. It's becoming more likely that heavy rain will fall over a large portion of Illinois and Indiana on Sunday into early Monday, as the remnants of Ike come this way on some model guidance. It's still several days out, and the models tend not to handle tropical systems very well, but it's certainly a viable option, he says. A period of cool and wet weather is likely. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Urbana-Champaign.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
On a Tuesday afternoon, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. Time to take a look at the agricultural futures markets. Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, joins us today. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, thanks very much for making the trip from Newmarket to Champaign last night for the Champaign County Marketing Club. That one happens once a month. I know it's open to everybody, and we had a few people from outside the county. It was awfully nice to have you and Jackie Vakes and oh, Chuck Shelby, along with Kurt Kimmel on the panel last night.
Yeah, it was a wonderful crowd as usual, you know, packed the auditorium in there, and actually it was enough people, it was sort of warm in there, but it was got a little warm when some of the questions they asked us, we didn't know the answers to quite, but all in all, we always enjoy the meeting there and learn a lot from the farmers, and, you know, a lot of questions we ask back of them, and seeing how their production, how they feel things are going, and just about like everywhere, everybody feels it's down just a little bit from last year as far as production goes, Todd.
Down just a bit, but your expectations, I heard you talking to Dave Dickey this morning on some of the pre-opening and opening market reports about this, is that USDA will still come out with a bigger number.
I don't know about a bigger, but they could. They left the crop ratings the same after we saw quite the deterioration from the August dryness. We see that, you know, some of the private ones like Informa and that out there, but we're just a little bit scared of the lateness of the crop and the nearness of the probably near freeze or frost compared to how many beans are green and the ones that were actually helped by this last rain. But, you know, later in the day today, why we saw that little blip about the talk of a freeze maybe 7 to 9 days out there, and we did see some freeze last night in very small areas of Minnesota. You know, one of our own members of the office here is up at the Austin Barrow Show, and he said the frost is on the roof, and the lows showed like 36 there in Austin last night.
Oh, the Austin Barrow Show. Boy, that brings back good memories. Were you a livestock judger in your earlier days?
Did do a little judging, yes, Todd.
I don't know whether the judging or the after parts were more fun. But I digress. Let's stay with what's happening with the marketplace at this point. Are you considering at this time that producers on at least the cash side should try to hang on to both corn and soybeans as much as they possibly can?
Yeah, for the meantime here, Todd, I think that would be definitely. Now, we will maybe shift gears a little bit on you there and saying if you have some old beans and looking at some of the basis levels that they have pulled into some of the processors here the last few days and has increased and been quite nice. And if you need to make some room and move some out, and if you feel like you need to re-own them, why, there's always a call to be bought. But that would be the one case where I would say that we might do a little cash movement there. But we do feel the prices we'll rebound as soon as we can get some stabilization in the crude and the dollar here and get into the field a little bit and actually see that these farmers are right and probably not the crop be quite as good as the government's saying.
I made note as I listened, and we'll hear just a bit later, to the Illinois statisticians talk about last year's crop. 10% of the corn crop had been harvested in the state by this date. Is there anything different about a late harvest season, other than the obvious, it doesn't dry down as fast, it doesn't come into the bin, but market-wise that you can peg on as something to use in your mind for making some marketing decisions?
Well, I think, first off, we don't have any statistics of the real thing. You know, we count ears, we can't get test weight, we can't get kernel depth, we can't get a lot of things out there if we haven't seen a certain percentage come in for a sampling to tell us, Todd. And I think that's where the government has probably been hung up on using their regular methods along the way that they haven't been able to make it the fine-tuning of it along that way. Also, a later harvest that's spread out like this probably will take longer. It won't be the zoom in the glut of harvest like we've seen a lot of times, and that a lot of times will maybe keep the basis from not getting quite as wide. But with these higher prices and the tendency of the last year and a half, we're afraid that the basis might still be wider than what some farmers are used to at harvest time. And that's just because of the great fluctuations of the marketplace, the volatility of all in the elevators, the transportation costs also adding into the basis a lot.
Wayne, we appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Tuesday afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
USDA yesterday afternoon released the weekly crop progress and weather reports. It now says corn acreage at or beyond the dough stage across the nation has reached 91%. That's 7 points behind last year, 5 points behind the normal. 62% of the acreage nationwide has reached the dent stage, 25 points behind last year and 17 points behind the five-year rolling average. 11% of the corn crop was mature. Corn condition now rated 61% good to excellent, and that's the same as last week. Soybeans, temperatures here are a pretty important factor. They were up to 8 degrees below the average east of the Mississippi River last week, while to the west, temperatures reached up to 4 degrees warmer than average. Pod setting had occurred on 97% of the acreage, 2 points behind last year and the average. 10% of the nation's acreage was dropping leaves, 17 points behind last year and 11 points behind the average. Condition of the crop for soybeans now rated nationwide at 57% good to excellent, the same as the previous week. Iowa's report looks like this. Most of that state received rainfall, but the amounts varied considerably across the state, with only a small area getting a great big soaking. Corn at or beyond the dough stage in Iowa has advanced to 82%, 15 percentage points behind last year and 14 points behind the five-year average. 50% of the corn crop has reached the dent stage, more than 2 weeks behind last year's 87% and 11 days behind the five-year rolling average. Corn condition is rated 3% very poor, 9% poor, 27% fair, 47% good, and 14% excellent in Iowa. 29% of the soybeans are turning color. That's 8 days behind last year's 54% pace and 1 week behind the five-year average of 53%. Soybeans dropping leaves in Iowa now 5% compared with 20% last year and 18% normally shedding leaves by this date. Soybean condition rated at 2% very poor, 9% poor, 29% fair, 46% good, and 14% excellent in Iowa. Now, here are the statisticians from the other four primary corn-producing states in the nation, including Illinois.
This is Margie Whitecotton reporting on the crop progress and condition for the week ending September 7th. Last week ended with temperatures averaging a comfortable 2 degrees below normal, and precipitation accumulations also averaged 1.8 inches above normal. The wettest areas of the state were in the west, central, and east crop reporting districts, with an average of 3.2 inches for the week. Statewide topsoil moisture conditions have increased courtesy of Hurricane Gustav. Moisture was reported at 4% very short, 9% short, 76% adequate, and 11% surplus. The majority of the counties received adequate rainfall, with the far southeastern crop reporting district being the driest in the state with an average of 37% very short on moisture. Reviewing the numbers, this week's crop progress has the corn crop reporting at 60% in the dent stage, still behind last year's 96%, and the 88% five-year average. The corn crop is 4% mature compared to 61% last year. Last year's crop was already 10% harvested by now, as we have yet to begin harvesting this year's crop. Soybeans have begun turning yellow, but only at 18%. They are still behind last year's 61%. The soybean crop has also started shedding leaves at 2% gone compared to 29% last year. Soybeans were rated in 67% good to excellent condition. In other crops around the state, sorghum is coloring at 39% compared to 88% last year. And the third cutting of alfalfa has reached 89% complete, trailing the 92% five-year average. Coming up this Friday, September 12th, the crop production report will be published at 7:30 a.m. Highlighting this report will be the corn and soybean yield updates from the level set back in August. And once again, we want to send out a big thank you to all the producers who have completed our reports, providing the timely and accurate statistics. This has been Margie Whitecotton, agricultural statistician with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Becky Summer of the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service Nebraska Field Office with the crop weather report for the week ending September 7, 2008. This week was cool and damp, slowing crop maturation and hampering producers trying to put up hay. Overall, three-quarters of the corn rated good or excellent below last year's crop rating at this time. Over 90% of the crop is in the dough stage and more than two-thirds has dented. Chopping of dryland corn for silage continues around the state. A quarter of the soybeans are turning color with a few fields beginning to drop leaves, with crop conditions well below year-ago levels. The alfalfa acreage continues to be mostly good or excellent. A few producers have begun a fourth cutting. Pasture and range conditions continue to rate mostly good or excellent but are now below last year's levels. The first fields of dry beans and Prosa millet were harvested and producers have also begun to drill winter wheat. This is Becky Summer of the USDA NAS, Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS, Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop weather report for the week ending September 7, 2008. Oat and barley harvest both advanced to over 94% complete this past week. Spring wheat at 87% complete neared the five-year average of 88% complete. The majority of the corn crop was in the dense stage of development, and over 40% of the soybeans were turning yellow. The average temperature for the week was 61 degrees, 1.4 degrees below normal. Statewide, top soil moisture supplies as of Friday, September 5th, were rated 12% very short, 35% short, 51% adequate, and 2% surplus. Statewide, there were, on average, 5.5 days suitable for fieldwork during the week. As of Sunday, September 7th, 94% of the corn had reached the dough stage, compared to 95% for the average. 61% of the corn was in the dense stage, compared to 94% last year and 76% for the average. 2% of the corn was matured, compared to 26% last year and 13% for the average. 41% of the soybeans were turning yellow, compared to 75% last year and 62% for the average. Barley was 95% harvested compared to 93% for the average, and oats were 96% harvested compared to 98% for the average. As of Friday, September 5th, 63% of the corn and 64% of the soybeans were rated in good or excellent condition. 70% of the dry beans, 83% of the sunflowers, and 72% of the sugar beets were rated in good or excellent condition. 36% of the pastures were also rated in good or excellent condition. That's the weekly crop weather for the week ending September 7th, 2008. I'm Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS, Minnesota Field Office.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, Director of the USDA NAS Field Office for Indiana, and this is the crop weather report for the week ending September 7th. Dry soil conditions in some areas found relief from the spotty rains, but for other areas in the state, it was too little, too late to help revive the more mature crops. The late and replanted corn and soybeans benefited the most from the recent rains, but in some areas, the more mature crops have already begun to shut down. Farmers in the drier areas have commented that the early planted crops may be past the point of responding to the moisture. Topsoil moisture was rated 22% very short, 44% short, 34% adequate, and 0% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated 16% short, 40% short, 43% adequate, and 1% surplus. Precipitation range from 0.17 to 2.58 inches. Temperatures average from a high of 97 to a low of 48 degrees. For the week, 6 days were rated as suitable for field work. 94% of the corn acreage is in the dough stage, compared with 99% last year and 97% for the five-year average. 61% of the corn acreage is in the dense stage, compared with 85% last year and 77% for the five-year average. 8% of the corn acreage is mature, compared with 36% last year and 24% for the five-year average. The condition of the corn crop declined for the week and was rated 57% good to excellent, compared to 43% last year at this time. 97% of the soybean acreage is setting pods, compared to 100% for last year and the five-year average. 18% of the soybean acres is shedding leaves, compared with 35% for last year and 25% for the five-year average. The soybean condition declined from last week and was rated at 46% good to excellent, compared to 42% last year near this time. This is Brett Preston reporting from the Indiana NAS Field Office.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Time to take a look at the energy market. Stephen Platt of Archer Financial Services, that's an ADM affiliate in Chicago, joins us from his offices. Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Hi, Todd.
You know, OPEC, I think, had some discussions today at one point about what they were going to do with the oil supply. Have you seen or heard anything about that yet?
It still looks like Saudis are controlling the meeting. I think they have an interest in keeping production stable. And OPEC, the OPEC president has indicated such here in some of his comments that they are likely to keep output stable.
Does that mean that oil prices will remain under pressure as the dollar continues to climb higher?
I do believe that could well be the case, and that we could see these oil prices move into the mid-90 area pretty easily. My feeling was that the output levels were basically overcoming the demand levels that we had seen weaken here throughout the summer, and subsequently leading to a lower price environment.
So at these levels, 103.26 currently for the trade on the October contract.
Well, October's right now 102.11.
Yeah, well, I'm 15 minutes delayed. I've got real times on others, but 15 minutes on those.
Well, it actually broke here in the afternoon session here after the market closed in the pit.
Okay, so we're down to 102 bucks.
Correct.
At these kinds of levels, do you expect demand to pick up, or is it because the summer driving season is, roughly speaking, over at this point, that we really won't see an increase in demand from what we had over the summer time frame?
Well, I have to think it will be slow to pick up. We've seen some of the marginal adjustments being made on the gasoline side, and certainly with the Northern Hemisphere winter coming on, you could see some pickup in demand on a seasonal basis. But overall, demand has been weakened by the economic prospects, not only here, but also starting to see some pulling back in growth in those emerging markets.
Do you follow natural gas?
Yes, I do.
Tell me about it, please.
Well, we've seen a rather intense decline in terms of this market. Domestic gas production has risen about 8%. That has overcome some of the declines we've seen in import levels, both of LNG or liquid natural gas and also imports from Canada. We've also seen some weak demand numbers. Some of that is weather related, but also some of it has been on the industrial consumption side. I think what we've seen here is certainly the market starting to see the adequate storage levels in a rather negative light overall.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Steve, and we'll talk to you in a month again.
Thank you.
Stephen Platt is with Archer Financial Services. It's an ADM affiliate located in Chicago. We talk about the agricultural and energy markets each and every Tuesday right here on the Closing Market Report in 2 minutes. We'll take a completed look at the agricultural weather. Don Day will join us. I'm Todd Gleason.
It's National Pepper Steak Day. Pepper steak is generally made by coating one side of a steak in peppercorns and butter, and then searing it over high heat. On this day in agricultural history in 1754, William Bligh was born. Bligh was captain of the English ship Bounty, and while sailing to Tahiti to bring back breadfruit trees, was subjected to the most famous mutiny in history. In 1843, Nancy Johnson was issued a patent for a hand-cranked ice cream freezer. The patent added a vertical shaft with curved perforated paddles to stir the ice cream mixture, stirring in both directions to carry liquid to the outside wall and back. And in 1890, Harlan Sanders was born near Henryville, Indiana. He founded Kentucky Fried Chicken. Before hitting on his secret recipe of 11 herbs and spices, he held a variety of jobs, including farmhand, streetcar conductor, army private, blacksmith's helper, rail yard fireman, insurance salesman, tire salesman, and service station operator. The Colonel became famous through his television ads, wearing his trademark white suit, string tie, and cane. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Listening to the Closing Market Report, I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Boy, it's a beautiful day here in the Midwest. Feels like fall.
It does feel like fall. Looks and feels like fall. Tastes like fall. Everything out there. We have some cooler, drier air that came out of the prairie provinces of Canada, adding to that fall-like feel. And it's going to be nice here for the next couple of days before we start to see the activity in terms of the chances of rain picking up again later this week and into next week.
And those will come along with the hurricane season in the Gulf of Mexico?
Yeah, and I tell you, that's the real wild card, because a lot of the precipitation that may fall in the Midwest may hinge on which way we see Ike go. Now, the latest trajectory is going to take the rain in the hardest hit areas, it looks like, into far south Texas and maybe direct that hurricane west into Old Mexico and maybe the extreme southern desert southwest states of the United States. Earlier this week, tracks were taking Ike further north and curving that moisture northeast more towards the Midwest and Corn Belt. And if that track does happen, then we're looking at a lot of rain. If we're looking at that moisture from Ike staying down south, then our rainfall amounts will be probably closer to average. So there are some question marks on what's coming in terms of how much moisture this weekend and next week.
If Ike stays down south, does that wall of cold air that's in Canada get an opportunity to make its way southward as well?
Well, there's going, even without even factoring in Ike into the track, it does appear that some of that cooler Canadian air has a chance to get in here, especially next week. Do we see freezing temperatures yet? Not yet, but I tell you, we got to keep a close eye on it. The way the pattern does seem to be evolving, we'd probably favor that southern track of Ike into southern Texas and directed more westward. And then we're going to see the pattern take on a, let's say, a seasonable pattern, but one that will direct some of that cooler air south out of Canada.
Does that mean, and we've got this off, I think, the GFS U.S. model yesterday, that Thursday and Friday of not this week, but the following week, have the chance to be really pretty cool in the upper Midwest?
It could be. A lot's going to depend on how much we see high pressure building over the western states and the Pacific. And a lot of that is going to be tied into how much energy is absorbed from Ike into the jet stream. Right. So we don't want to read into it too much, at least at the moment. I think we'll have a better idea this weekend. Let Ike come into the coast, into the Texas, Mexico area, then I think our computer charts are going to be a little bit more reliable by then.
Oh, you know, we in the media just like good stuff, like a frost in the middle of the harvest season.
Oh, well, I tell you, it's something we'll have to watch, because the odds this year seem to be higher than in previous years.
All right, then maybe you should turn your attention to something a little closer to home, at least in terms of dates. How does it fare in the South American portions of the growing areas in the coming week?
Well, right now, if we look at, let's first look at Brazil. Their forecast is pretty dry. While there are some showers in the forecast next week for many areas of Brazil and some areas of Argentina, both countries looking at averaging below normal precipitation-wise for the next week or so, temperature-wise. And down on the other end of the Earth, southern hemisphere, temperatures Brazil at normal, a little cooler than normal in Argentina.
Don, thanks much.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. You have a good afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.